Okay, Chavra, so we're learning this Shabbos. The Gemara on Daf Ayin, Davar Amud Beis, tells me that if someone throws, we'll translate a sichta as a twig, you throw it into the fire, so is that the Gemara that you are going to be chayav from the Basha? Because it gets softer at first and then it gets harder. We noted a problem, which is that the Gemara in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah tells me that, in fact, the kavana of the fellow who throws the... That's a good move. Right? In fact, the kavana of the fellow who throws the twig into the fire is to harden the twig. It would seem that that goes against our Gemara in Shabbos, which says that the kavana is not to harden the twig, but rather the kavana is to first soften it, and then it becomes harder after, and consequently there's bishul. So yesterday, we went through a few of the shitos in Rishonim, and we noted that there are two possibilities which might be the same. Right? One approach was what we call the Taisus in Avodah Zarah, about that it's bishul garua, and it seems that's what the Ritva writes, that it's bishul garua. And we pointed out that according to the Ramban, this is really a case of psik reisha, but right, both mahalchim end up being the same, to, in the sense of that since bishuli nachrim is because of chasnus, so as such, since it's because of chasnus, so there's going to be no iser of chasnus unless that's your primary kavana. That's the way we developed the theme yesterday. It's interesting to note that Rashi in Avodah Zarah has like a different take on Judaism, no? Rashi writes that one who is shadi sichta la'atuna, if you throw the peg into the fire, so in that case, like the Gemara, when the guy throws the peg in and the Jew had the gourd that was hidden beforehand, that is not going to be bishul akum. Aren't you cooking the twig, so to speak? So Rashi writes, well, ain bishul bekalim. You notice that, Rashi? It's like unbelievable, no? Rashi says, there's no bishul on kalim. So the egley towel jumps up and down, and he spits what it goes, and he says, my dear beloved Rashi, what do you mean, ain bishul bekalim? The Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Dalin, tells me that there is bishul on kalim. No? And this Rashi seems like he's saying that there's only bishul on food items. That's Rashi in Avodah Zarah. And therefore, when the guy throws the twig in, even though there is kavana levashel, but it doesn't matter because it's not food. And the din of bishul is only on food. Well, what do you mean the din of bishul is only on food? Don't we say that the din of bishul applies to non-food items? So that is the kasha that the Egwe Tal gives. So I'd like to suggest an answer based on the yisod that we've developed a few times, which is, if you remember, in our youth, we discussed that by Shabbos, they're both avos and toldos. No? Avos and toldos. The av is the primary malacha. The told is something that has some dimyon to the malacha. We noted either a dimyon in the pu'ula or a dimyon in the nif'al, that there's a dimyon that it's somehow comparable, similar to the av malacha. Well, the Gemara learned avos and toldos from psukim. If that's the case, one can make a very strong case. Use the word case to make that same sentence. If that is so, someone can make a strong case that maybe there is no concept of toldos at all by bishulei nachrim. Maybe the concept of toldos is only by bishul b'shabbos. But maybe there's no concept at all of toldos by bishulei nachrim. Right? This is actually one of the things that we were speaking about yesterday. Does the word bishul mean the same thing clear across the board? Well, it could be not. It could be that by Shabbos, I have the av of bishul and the tolda of bishul. But by bishulei nachrim, maybe only the av is a problem. And if that's the case, I would argue that maybe when our Gemara speaks about someone who is shadi sichta la'atuna, so the Gemara keeps on using the lashon chayiv mishum mevashel. No, we spoke about this in our youth. Whether that expression mishum, right, really means tolda. Does it automatically mean tolda or not? But I think the pashtus is that it's not the av malacha of bishul. The av malacha of bishul is food. Cooking kalim is a tolda. Therefore, comes along Rashi in Avodah Zarah, and Rashi says that there is no bishul nachrim when you throw it in, because there is no tolda of bishul by bishul nachrim. That's the pshat in Rashi. This is actually very relevant, no? Did you ever go to Dunkin' Donuts? Everyone? So there are different minhagim in different Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts has like this thing. It seems to me that it's mamish toxic and poisonous. I don't know why anyone would eat it. But don't they have like this thing that they put like eggs into the microwave and it ends up being like an egg something or another? I think the Dunkin' Donuts here in the Heights does not do that. But I think the Dunkin' Donuts in Elizabeth, New Jersey does it. I don't remember what the Dunkin' Donuts in the Five Towns does. You have to look. But the real shaila is there bishul akum on the eggs? Is there bishul akum on the eggs that are done in the microwave? Now, there is a lot that we could say about bishul akum, but it's clear that eggs are subject to the rule of bishul akum. So how on earth could a kashrus agency permit eggs made in a microwave by a guy in a Dunkin' Donuts? No? So, it's a problem, perhaps. But the answer might be that maybe microwaves are categorically exempt from bishulei nachrim. Why would that be? I'll tell you why. Because it could be that cooking in the microwave is not an av malacha of cooking on Shabbos. Again, it's also to cook in the microwave on Shabbos. Av tolda drav. It's for sure also using electricity. You can't use microwaves on Shabbos. But is there a din of bishul akum on food that's cooked in a microwave? No? So I would contend, and in the back of the Sefer Chalkas Bin Yamin on Bishulei Nachrim, he has this idea. I would argue that maybe there is no such thing as tolda of bishul by Bishulei Nachrim. And maybe cooking in the microwave is not the av malacha of bishul. The av malacha of bishul involves fire, no? Microwave doesn't have fire. Like microwaves, I think, like you're like the physics guy, you know, microwaves like drag the moisture out of the food and therefore becomes hot because the molecules at face warm.
There's a certain frequency that makes the molecules move around really quickly.
The molecules move around a little bit and it makes the food hot. But there ain't no fire and no microwave. So one could argue that's only bishul as a tolda of bishul. And yes, on Shabbos I'm going to be chayiv. Because it's a tolda. But by bishulei nachrim, it could be there's no isser at all, and therefore your eggs in the microwave in Dunkin' Donuts might be kosher because, right? It might be kosher. Based on that, yes, sir.
So if I have an electric stovetop, is that?
So an electric stovetop l'cha'ora is real fire. My parents have an electric stovetop, and like when it gets red hot, you can mamish. Put a candle to it and it will ignite. There's real fire in those coils. That's ash. It might not be like ash that comes up, but there's ash in those coils. I think that would be bishul as an av malacha. But bishul in a microwave, because there is no heat, I would argue is a tolda. And if this cheshbin of our dear beloved Eglaital is correct, so there is no such thing as bishulei nachrim on a tolda of bishul. This is relevant in... I have a student who's in federal prison. He did maisim asher lo ye'asu. He did child pornography. Not so good. He's in federal prison. So one of the issues in federal prison is the type of... The way they allow you to have hot meals is basically that they have somebody microwave the food for you. That's what they do. Is there bishul akum with all the food? Is all the food in the federal prison that this guy gets trafe, no? Guy's from whatever, in some level. And he was worried about this. So I think this one's relying on that there's no bishul akum on food in a microwave, no? Can you ask the guy to microwave food for you on Shabbos? Is that asking the guy to do an Issa D'Oraisa on Shabbos? Well, probably yes. Amir al-Nachri to do an Issa D'Oraisa is also on Shabbos, right? However, there are shitos of the Baal HaItor in the Rambam and Siman Reish Ayin Vav. The Baal HaItor says that Amir al-Nachri to do a D'Oraisa might be mutter l'tzorach su'udas Shabbos. The Rambam says don't rely on this. But one can make a case that if the only way to have a hat su'udas Shabbos is by Amira l'nachri to do a d'oraisa of bishul, etc., so then you have the Baal HaItor to rely on, right? And again, if you ever want a book called Shailas and Shubas from the Federal Pen, right? So we just gave you two. No? That's basically what we wanted to speak about with the Shita of Rashi. Good, gentlemen?
Well, I want to say the same thing by Rashi that we're saying with the other Rishonim, that the reason for Bishul over there is still the reason for the
and that's here. That maybe over there the reason of Bishul is because of Chasnos, and therefore...
Well, Rashi says because we don't trust their food.
Rashi says that we're worried that the guy will put straight food into my Bishul, yeah.
So for Kalim, that also doesn't apply, because...
Well, by Kalim, it could be it still applies. Maybe the Kalim has treif food in it.
I'm not eating the Kalim.
It doesn't matter, but there's a halach of tam ke'ikar. Right? And a treif food, treif flavor that's embedded in the pot, trace up the food in the pot.
Am I putting the Kalim inside of my apple pie? I don't know if that's the case.
Again, but even, let's say it like this. The Isser of Bishul Akum, according to Rashi, is because maybe some treif is going to be mixed in. I know no treif was mixed in this case, but still it's also out of Bishul Akum. The reason why Chazal made the Gezerah is because maybe they mixed some treif in.
Nobody makes a treif utensil,
right?
I don't think we'll make a treif utensil.
I'm not sure. Again, I have a lot to say about this issue in Bishul Akum. I think that'll take us a little bit far afield. I'd love discussing it with you. Not right now. Right now, I want to try to be mashlim this sugya a little bit. Shodi sichtu la'atuna. So Rashi writes over here that you throw the pig in order to dry it off. So the Nishmas Adam asks a question. He says, why don't we say that you're throwing the pig in order to burn the pig? And there will be bishul, because there's a psik resha on the water that is going to be cooked out of the peg before the peg gets completely burnt. The bishul nagamara is on the water that gets cooked out. If the bishul is on the water that gets cooked out, so why are we saying that the situation is I throw the peg in order to dry the peg? If I throw the peg in, even in order to consume the peg, it still is an iser bishul on the water that's in the peg. Or it's an iser bishul on the peg itself. We'll have to flesh that issue out a bit. But there's still some iser bishul. If there's still some iser of bishul, whether or not the peg gets burned, why does Rashi give the strange case that your kavanah is to dry the peg? L'cha'ora, the kavanah of burning the peg is a much more reasonable kavanah. That's what people usually do with pegs. They throw it in to burn it rather than dry it. Yes, sir?
Assuming that's true, that people normally put pegs in to burn it, I'm not sure about it. We're still talking about bishul. If we want to put it in to burn it, that's hara.
So, enfer the nishmas adam, that we can't give the case of throwing the peg into the fire to burn, to consume the peg, because that would not be the malacha of bishul, that would be the malacha of havara. Right? The problem is that in the Jerusalem Talmud, that in the second chapter of Shabbos, the halacha hey, it's daf yutesom and aleph, bedapeh hayirushalmi. So the Yerushalmi writes that if a person puts a varim u'pidarim, you put the limbs of a carbon onto the fire, onto the mizbeach, so you violate the malacha of mivashel. It's cooking. You put the limbs on the mizbeach. That's the melacha of cooking. Why? Zok the Yerushalmi, mekevan shehu rotze beikulan kimivushalhu. Since you want it to be consumed, that is mevashel. It's not havara. It's mevashel. Because you want it to happen. The only time it's havara, apparently, is what? When you don't really want it to be destroyed. When I have a fire with olive oil that's burning, I'd rather that it not get destroyed. Hasne inenu ukal is a much more geshmaka type of fire. No? Because you'd rather that it don't get destroyed. I remember, actually, last year at our Chanukah Rosh Hashiva meeting, so the president of Yeshiva University, Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, said a very nice machshava inyan about Chanukah, which is that the yesod of Chanukah is that you have the oil last for a long time. Right? That is the same yesod of Hasne Inenu Ukal. It's an interesting idea that the bush that Moshe Rabbeinu saw, right, represents an idea of a fire that's not consuming the fuel, that the fuel remains even though the fire is burning. And Chanukah somehow is an extension of that idea. Now, what you do with it is already, right, that's why you need a rabbi who's a darshan. But the parallel, I think, is instructive. I think it's an interesting idea. No? It's an interesting idea. Harav Berman, Shalita. So let's just finish it up. So if I put a carbon on the Mizbeach, I want it to be destroyed. Because that's a mitzvah in the Torah. So therefore, it's the malacha of Mivashel. Right? When I want it to happen, it's the malacha of Mivashel. So also, if I throw the peg into the fire and I want the peg to be burned, me'eza sibashahi, it's the malacha of mevashel. So the Yerushalmi is against Ben's suggested answer, right? That's the Nishmas Adam's ha'ara. By the way, we pointed out that the Nishmas Adam, the Chaya Adam, Rabbi from Danzig, was not a rabbi professionally. He was a businessman in Vilna. Torah is not only the property of Rabbanim. Yes, sir.
In the case of in the Yerushalmi about Korbanos, does it say which Korban?
It does not say which Korban. But it sounds like the Evarim u'Pedarim, and the Yerushalmi Sashon is Evarim u'Pedarim. Evarim u'Pedarim of all Korbanos is totally burned. A Korban, Oyla, everything is totally burned. But there is a certain amount of every Korban that's goes on the Mizbeach and is totally destroyed. It could be that the Basar is going to be Nechal Kohanim, or by Yishlomim it's Nechal, by the Kohanim and by the Bayalim. Whatever it is. Chatas is Nechal to Kohanim. But the Evarim Pedarim of all the Karbanos are Mamish burned. They're Mamish consumed. And even so, the Yerushalmi says that this is the Malacha of Mevashel. So the Nishmas Adam, the Chai Adam, says he thinks, although the Yerushalmi says it, the Bavli disagrees, and he brings a Raya from a Gemara in Yevamis on Daf Lamed Gimel, that Zar Shashimesh, if a non-Kayin does Avoda, and the non-Kayin has something burned on the Mizbeach, so that is going to be the Malacha of Havara, not the Malacha of Bishul. So the Nishmas Adam, the Chaya Adam, suggests that fundamentally the Bavli and the Yerushalmi disagree about whether there is Havara, whether Havara and Bishul are the same. Can you violate Bishul on something that gets completely consumed? According to Yerushalmi, there is Bishul when it gets completely consumed. According to the Bavli, there isn't. Ad kan divrei harav nishmas adam. Yes, sir.
Can you also say that there's both Bishul and Havara?
Could. Although it seems like from both Yerushalmi and the Bavli, that's not correct. The Yerushalmi, excuse me, has a machlokas, whether it's Bishul or Havara. And we're going according to the man to Amr and Yerushalmi that it is Bishul. Right? It sounds like it's not both. But even if it would be both, right, both would mean that when something gets consumed, that is Bishul. Is there Bishul in something that gets consumed entirely? That's an interesting question. Bishul in something that totally gets consumed. So the Chaya Adam is saying that's a machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. Now the Shvisas HaShabbos, right? It's in the Be'er Rechovos on Shabbos of Kutim Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin. The Shvisas HaShabbos writes that he thinks there is no real machlokes. You see, by a carbon, when I burn it on the Mizbeach and it's totally consumed, it's not all gone. It's not all gone in the sense of after it's consumed, that's when the real Ikar HaKarbon happens. That's what the Torah calls Reyach Nicholach, by Karbanos. So he wants to say that maybe by Karbanos, even though it gets totally consumed, it's Bishul, because Bishul means that something has to remain at the end. By Karbanos, something remains. It is this ephemeral idea of Reyach Nicholach that remains. But by other things, if nothing remains, right? By other things, nothing will remain, and if nothing remains, that can't be Bishul. That's the Shvisas HaShabbos' idea. It's elegant, I think. Okay, Zolzayin. Now, why is this relevant for us? Can you violate Bishul on something that is completely gone? Nir Lefi in his deity that this issue is a machlokes about how to understand our Gemara. Gentlemen, when I throw the twig into the fire, and my kavan is to be miyabesh the twig, right? That's the case according to Rashi. What is the bishul that I'm doing? Is this bishul on a food item, or is it bishul on a non-food item? Now you're going to say, Schwartz, you're crazy. Of course it's bishul on a non-food item, no? But one could argue, maybe not. Maybe the bishul that's going on over here is I'm cooking the water. And when I cook the water, right, water is a food item. A twig has water inside it. If you ever lit wet wood, you actually hear the crinkle crinkle as it begins, right, as the water begins to evaporate inside the wood, it makes that crinkle crinkle sound. You're thinking back to your Yagilu days about...
The standard between loch and non-loch for like modern visual distinctions is much more liberal. It would count something like a twig as definitely not loch.
Right? Right. That, I think that's correct. But there are some, certainly, who assume that any tiny droplets of water are called loch. You're right. I mean, the way most poskim follow Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's only called lach if you have a substantial accumulation of liquid. So in the twig, there's probably not a substantial accumulation of liquid. I'll agree with that. But let's assume that we consider it like there is liquid. Right? The same issue comes up with like a wet beged, no? When I put a wet beged near the fire, that's Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Aleph, Se'if Mem Vav. When I put a wet beged near the fire, what am I cooking? Am I cooking the shirt? Or am I cooking the water that is in the shirt? Which one is it? Now, right over there, it's an interesting situation because the malacha is probably malabin. Right, when I put the shirt near the fire, right? That's a way of cleaning a shirt. And in Shin'ah, that we'll discuss that in a minute, but let's go slowly. There is a possibility that the case of Shodi Sichto La'atuna is not bishul on a non-food item. And by the way, and then Rashi in Avodah Zarah would be more geshmak, no? There's no such thing as bishul on non-food items at all. No such thing. The bishul in our Gemara is on the food item. Water. Even by the tar. No? You're cooking the water that's mixed in or by the cheres. Right? That's what you're cooking out. So that's an interesting idea. Maybe it's bishul on the water. The problem is that if I want to say bishul on the water, that means I have to say that there is bishul on something that gets completely eradicated from this planet. No? When you think about cooking a twig on Shabbos, so if I'm cooking the actual twig, so, right, the twig remains. The twig is now a twig miyubash. That's beautiful. But if I'm cooking the water, all the water, poofed, it all went gone. Can there be bishul on something that's totally destroyed? Look back at our conversation from 3 minutes ago from the Nishmas Adam about the carbon, etc. Meaning, right? I think if you do the mathematics of the sugya, if you want to say that the bishul is on the mayim, then you have to assume, like the Yerushalmi, that there is bishul on something that is totally destroyed. Aber, if I want to say that there's bishul on the keli, right? So then, one could say that there is no bishul on something that is totally destroyed. This issue about the bishul on the mayim on the keli, I mentioned this comes up in Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Aleph Se'if Mem Vav. It says, "Begodim hashruyim b'mayim, you're not allowed to hang it samach la'esh." The Magen Avraham writes that it's melabein or mevashel, and therefore, because it's mevashel, ready, this is for you, afilu shriya mu'etes is going to be aser. Right? You get an impression, even if it's just moist, damp, it's not really wet, it still is going to be aser. That's what the Magen Avraham tainus, that the iser is out both mevashel and melabein. Reb Kiva Eger over here. And then the Magen Avraham says, but in a situation where there is no mevashel, there's also no melabein. It says in Shulchan Aruch that I'm allowed, that it's usher to hang freshly wet laundry in the sun on Shabbos, because people will think it's maris ayin that you did laundry on Shabbos. If I hang my shirt outside on the clothesline, it looks like I did laundry on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham is bothered. Once again, why are you saying only it looks like laundry? Maybe it's an iser of bishul because it's getting cooked in the sun. So Magen Avraham says, no, cooking in the sun is not cooking. And once cooking in the sun is not cooking, there's no libun at all. So the Magen Avraham says that melabein and mevashel are connected. You only violate melabein if there's also mevashel. However, Reb Kiva Eger says that not so fast. Reb Kiva Eger says sometimes there are cases where there is melabein without mevashel. Let's say you have a shirt. I'm not exactly sure how this would happen. But your shirt has water that is Yad Saledispo in it. Are you allowed to hang such a shirt outside next to the hot fire, next to the fire? I have a shirt that has Yad Saledispo water in it. Can I hang it next to the fire? What would you say? According to the Magen Avraham?
It's Yad Saledispo.
Yad Saledispo. The water inside the shirt is Yad Saledispo. According to the Magen Avraham? It is mutter. Because there's no libun when there's no bishul. If the water is yad saledes, there's no bishul. Right? Because ein bishul, achar bishul, the water is already hot. The water is already hot inside my shirt, no? If the water is hot, my shirt is hot. Right? If it's already hot, so then, if it's already hot, so there's no bishul. If there's no bishul, according to the Magen Avraham, it's going to be mutter to hang it up outside. Or to hang it, near the fire. Because when there's no bishul, there's no libun. But Reb Kiva Eger says, no. Maybe, even though there's no bishul, there is libun. Now, what does that mean? Part of this issue might be our conversation now. Is the bishul on the water? Or is the bishul on the shirt? Reb Kiva Eger is saying, if the word is Yad Saledispo, so there's no bishul, right? Well, dude, what are you saying? You're assuming that the bishul's on the water. If the bishul's on the shirt, right, it's bishul of a non-food item, like Shadi Sichta La'atuna, that you make a substantial change in a non-food item, so maybe that's going to be bishul on the shirt, not on the water. Okay, so b'kitzur hama'aseh. The Nishmas Adam's distinction between bishul and havara should relate to whether the bishul on the twig is on the water or on the twig itself, and that should also relate to two possibilities in how we understand that Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin. Okay, gentlemen, we should have a good Shabbos. Sunday, I have parent-teachers conferences, but I'd still like to give shiur around 11, if possible. So that should work. Excellent.